The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is the Bob Siegel Show, but I am not Bob Siegel. I'm Mark Boubian, itinerant film critic, filling in for Bob while he and his new bride enjoy their honeymoon. And I want to send out congratulations to Bob and Dana. And I do want to pray now that the Lord blesses them with joy, strength, understanding, and trust in Jesus as they grow in love for each other in their marriage. And amen to that. Bob has kindly allowed me to take over his show while he's out, and I'm going to cover one of the great cultural events of our time, and no, it's not Bob's wedding, though that was pretty awesome. It's Comic-Con, and I'm going to finally answer some of the burning questions lots of people have. Who are those guys with yellow signs, the bullhorns, and the 12-feet-tall Bibles? But first, let's talk about some more fun stuff, some of the stuff that happens at Comic-Con that you go there for, such as, for example, first off, first and foremost, Army of Darkness, Ash and the Evil Dead are returning. Now, I can't say this enough. Ash and the Evil Dead are returning. This is the best cultural television movie news of all time, bar none. It should have been in Hall H, J, K, L, and M for the panel because this is such great news. Now, if you haven't noticed, I'm a big fan of Army of Darkness. I love Bruce Campbell in the character of Ash. I've loved him forever in that. I've seen a lot of his movies just because of Bruce Campbell, and I am so happy he is returning to this great role of Ash. And the even better news, Sam Raimi, who is obviously the director of Spider-Man, the first three Spider-Man movies that were popular a few years ago, and Robert Tapert, who was not very well known, but a producer for the Evil Dead series and Army of Darkness, they're both also returning to the series, so we're going to get the real deal. And unfortunately, I could not get into the panel because it was not in Hall H, I, J, K, L, and M. There wasn't enough room for me, so that's what happens at Comic-Con. But the news itself is all that matters. And there's actually a great trailer online. You can go see it. Just look up Ash and the Evil Dead. The show's going to premiere October 31st. And they did not pay me for this, I swear. Now, the trailer might be a little bit bloody. Yeah, it might be a few severed limbs and axes in the head or other body parts. But it's still going to be a great show, and I'm looking forward to it. But that's actually not the reason I go to Comic-Con. That's just part of it. Comic-Con is actually a very broad and fun, exciting experience. There's lots of reasons to go. Everybody's going to have a different reason. Everybody's going to cite something. Lots of people go to see the costumes. Lots of people go to just see the panels or to see their favorite actors up there talking about the shows, talking about the characters, or even just you get the opportunity a lot of times to meet those actors when they're signing autographs. And so it can be a lot of fun. And for me, it really does boil down to those things. The people that are up there presenting, the people that are signing the autographs, the people making the shows, the people starring in the shows. For me, it's about the people because I really get to learn who they are in real life, and I get to see what they think of the show they're on sometimes. And you get to hear some real experience. You get to hear the philosophy, what they're all about. It's a really great experience to hear those actors talk. And sometimes even just the people you run into at Comic-Con that may or may not be an actor or a star are fun to meet. So it's just a really great experience. Definitely hard to get into. It took me 4 years to actually get tickets. I am not kidding. And I even know somebody. That's how hard it is to get in. But that's just the way it goes with Comic-Con because it's so popular. And Comic-Con really does try to be fair about distributing the tickets. So I really can't fault them for that. It's just a crowded event. And one piece of news that I learned that they released during this Comic-Con is they've signed on to San Diego for the next either 2 or 3 years. I don't have the exact number, but for sure 2 years and I think three. So they're going to stay in San Diego. They actually love it here in San Diego. They're very loyal to our city. And that is great because it's just a fun event and it's right here. Brings a lot of money to our city, and our city council must love that because they're politicians. They love money. So they're pleased, I'm sure. But the fans are the ones that really matter, and those are the people that should be the most pleased. So a few things I saw at Comic-Con that kind of epitomize Comic-Con. For the panels, one day my family and I were able to attend a couple of the panels. Typically what you do at Comic-Con, because it's so crowded, is that you want to go to whatever panel you're going to see. Now, a panel is when the people, a whole show will get up and the stars and the creators will all be up there sitting there talking. And those are typically the things you find on YouTube afterwards. But because Comic-Con doesn't clear the room after a panel, if you want to see a panel at any point during the day, you almost have to get there for the very first panel of that day, get in line super early, go in, and just sit there through whatever panels are before the one you want to see. So that's what happened to us this year. And in the past, that's worked out really well. This year, it was a mixed bag. Now, we were actually there to see a great show called Gravity Falls. This is a Disney Channel show. Please don't judge it for that reason. It's an amazing show. Probably my favorite show live on TV right now. Not live, but being aired currently on TV, not in reruns. It's animated sort of X-Files with Scully and Mulder being twin brothers and sisters. And they actually get along. They don't disagree about its science or its magic. They know the deal. It's magic. And they're spending their summer with their great uncle. That's the inspiration for the show. I'll get a little more into it as we go on. But that's the show we went to see. Last year, their panel was a knockdown, drag out, roaring, a festival of excitement and fun and joy. They were just amazing. They even read a script. They performed a scene from an episode that they had just written for Comic-Con, and it was hilarious and just such a treat to see them perform it live. So that's why we wanted to see them again. So we just got in line, didn't know what was before. We didn't care because we want to see Gravity Falls. Well, it turns out that Comic-Con did a very bad job planning this particular hall this year because the first panel was a show called Hand of God, which is about a judge whose son tries to commit suicide after witnessing his wife be raped, and the judge goes kind of crazy and believes God is telling him to hunt down the person that committed the crime and whatever else, and he hires a secondhand man to do the killing. So kind of not something God would really do, but not that I would care about that much in the panel. But since not everybody was there to see Gravity Falls, but I would say the majority of the audience was there for a kids show called Gravity Falls. And this is an NC-17 full-blown murder everything goes bad for everybody kind of show. And the treat for me, though, and this is why it's, you know, Comic-Con is an interesting place, even though this was a totally inappropriate panel to start when you're going to have a panel for kids later, Ron Perlman is actually the star. Now, I love Ron Perlman because he's Hellboy. Another great series, another one of my favorites. Hellboy is awesome. There are even some really great Christian images in this movie, Hellboy. You wouldn't expect it, but there really are some great things that Christians can get from this show, from movie. So it was a delight for me to see Ron Perlman on stage because I've never seen him. And it was interesting to hear about the show. I hadn't seen the show. I watched it afterwards, and it looks like an okay show, kind of like a Breaking Bad knockoff, in a different way. They're trying to be edgy like Breaking Bad, I think. But one kind of unfortunate moment during the panel, Ron Perlman was, you know, he took it pretty good. His language was, you know, pretty family friendly, I should say, through most of it. But at one point, he was asked about Hellboy, which is the question I wanted to have asked. I didn't care about anything but Hellboy. Are they making a Hellboy 3? They need to make a Hellboy 3. And Ron Perlman is behind it 100%. He was asked about it by the moderator of the panel, and he's actually trying to get the director behind it and get some steam rolling. He said he actually offended some studio execs and had to make some apologies, but that's all in a good thing. You know, you've heard the term, there's no such thing as bad advertising. Well, Ron Perlman advertising to the studio execs that there is a lot of desire for Hellboy 3 is a good sign. So that was great to hear at Comic-Con. Now, when Ron Perlman started talking about Hellboy, things started to fall apart a little bit for the families. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes when we come back from the break.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Booby, and taking over for Bob while he's on his honeymoon with his wonderful wife, Dana. And back to Comic-Con and Ron Perlman's little faux pas. Now, before I finish here, I want to make sure it's clear that Ron Perlman did not know what he was getting into when this happened. It was not his fault. It was the setup of the hall, that there were a bunch of kids in the hall, and he did not know that. He thought they were there to see him only. So when Hellboy came up, he started to use some swear words, one swear word in particular. And he kind of started using it over and over again. And it was comical. He was doing it for comic effect. And he said, you know, I want to apologize. He started by actually saying, I want to apologize to any of the kids in the room because I tend to swear a little bit. And then the rest of the panel, he was swearing all the time. Now, that doesn't bother me, of course. And I didn't have any problem with that. But little did he know, the hall was like 80% of families. So there were tons of kids. So the poor guy, that was just Comic-Con's mistake. And that's one of the things that can happen. It was actually, to me, it was very funny that it was going on. And I don't know how Ron Perlman feels about it or if he even knows, but that's how it goes. Now, Hand of God looks like it could be a good show. Like I said, I watched the, it's not the preview, it's the first episode. They have it up on Amazon. And one of the things that they were talking about during the panel is that they were trying to have the people be real. They weren't shooting for necessarily making it a religious show or an anti-religious show. They just wanted real people. And it looks like that's kind of where they're headed. But there's really not a lot of great qualities to any of the people. It reminded me of the movie Birdman, where it was a bunch of terrible people doing terrible things to each other. Now, this is the first episode. You can't necessarily judge a television show by its first episode. The actors tend to take time to get into character. So it has potential. There's a preacher that's really smarmy. And boy, I don't know why anyone would go to his church. Maybe because he's good looking and he has a hot wife. Matt, that's got to be it, because there's no other reason anyone would go to his church. But he's plays a big role in Ron Perlman's character believing that he is being spoken to by God. And actually, the first scene, Ron Perlman is in a fountain speaking in tongues. However, they don't take any opportunity to translate what he's saying. And to me, that was the big question. Is he actually using a real language? Because then that would be an actual miracle. They even acknowledge that on the show. Somebody says, well, you know, my aunt goes to church and they speak in tongues. And another person says, well, I don't want to, don't drag your aunt down here because we don't want to know what he's saying. So unfortunately, we may not ever find out if it was a true miracle. But that's how the show is kind of doing it. So they're trying to walk the line. And the good thing about this type of show is it raises questions for people that may not necessarily want to ask questions. And I'm all for that. So no condemnation here. Just the show may or may not work out. We'll see how it goes. But it has some potential. And Ron Perlman's always a good guy to watch. And I'll tell you what, he's got the meanest frown I've ever seen. And he almost never smiled the whole panel. So I guess he knows he has a mean frown. Following the Hand of God panel was a panel for a Wesley Snipes TV show. Also a very adult-oriented show. Much lighter, more PG-13-ish than NC-17. So there wasn't any swearing because they're going to broadcast it on ABC, I think. But the problem is they showed us a whole episode and they didn't tell us they were going to show us a whole episode. So every time there was a commercial break, or there would be a commercial break, there was a long period of just black screen on the screen. So nobody knew if the episode had ended. Oh, we just saw the scene. Okay, now you're going to come up and talk. But no, then there's another scene. And then, and since there's like 10 commercial breaks in every show now, it just became kind of ludicrous. And people started just laughing every time the show would restart. And finally, at the end, you could tell it was over, that, and people clapped for it, kind of the mercy clap in a way. And nobody really was rooting for anybody in the show. We were just watching it. And the only real reaction the show got was the laughter. Well, out comes Wesley Snipes co-star Philip Winchester, and he's very excited, you know, very animated guy, seemed like a nice guy, But his mistake was that he said, it was so great to see everybody's reaction to our show. We were standing in the back watching the whole time, and to share that with you was amazing. Well, nobody reacted to the actual show. So I don't know where, what room he was standing in the back of, but it wasn't our room because nobody reacted. But in reality, I'm sure he was just told to say something like that. When you go out, make sure you tell the fans something good. Well, that's not really what I like about Comic-Con. I want to see the people be genuine. Ron Perlman swearing, that's genuine. He swears. He's genuine when he swears. So we saw Ron Perlman as Ron Perlman is. I have no idea if we saw the real Wesley Snipes or the real Philip Winchester. It seemed like just a marketing panel for the show. And there were a couple of other major faux pas in that panel. And it just was a total dud. And again, when this panel ended, it was mercy claps. Hand of God got some big claps, not huge cheers, but, you know, they actually got mobbed a little bit at the end. But this panel just was a dud, and, you know, people just clapped and got out. Anybody that was there for the panel left. They were the only ones that really enjoyed it, I think. Then came Gravity Falls. Now, again, this show is great. An awesome Disney show, best show on Disney Channel, best show since Kim Possible, and that's about 10 or 15 years ago. So this show is awesome. It's created by a man named Alex Hirsch. He's actually a real twin. He's got a twin sister named Ariel Hirsch, and the show is actually inspired by their own experiences. Loosely, obviously, as because they were sent off to summers with their great aunt. So that's where he got the inspiration for the show. There's some aspects to one of the main characters. The female twin is named Mabel. She's the most popular character in the show, bar none. She's voiced by Kristen Schaal. Very recognizable voice. Very funny. Just absolutely a knockout. And one of the things about her character is she wears these wacky sweaters. Now, some of them light up. Some of them just have funny things on them, rainbows and miscolored. And sometimes she bedazzles them. It's just, it's part of her character, and it's kind of a trademark of the show. So at Comic-Con, lots of people dress up as that character, Mabel. And it's amazing to see these costumes. Now, between Gravity Fall, between the player and Gravity Falls panels, there was about a 15-minute break. During that 15-minute break, people broke out into roaring cheers at least four times. I mean, just standing up and cheering. And what they were cheering for were people dressed up as Mabel, the character, or one of the other characters in the show. Not for an actual actor. Not for Wesley Snipes, certainly, but for just somebody in a great costume. That's awesome. Great things to see at Comic-Con. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, WNS Electric.
This is Dana Ray, a reoccurring co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, here to tell you about Bob's latest novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. What kid could resist the chance to wish for anything he wanted, even if he knew he was flirting with certain danger every single time he made the wish? 12-year-old Mike Owens has received a special present from his eccentric Aunt Lorene, a magic Christmas ornament. The ornament functions as a kind of Aladdin's lamp, but with a unique twist. Each time Mike's wish is granted, something bad happens to a person who is with him at the time the wish was spoken. This, of course, sets up a chain reaction of trouble and adventure. Weighing his own desires against the consequences to those around him, Mike learns a valuable lesson about choices and personal responsibility while experiencing a nonstop adventure with extremely unusual turns. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Boubian, talking about Comic-Con, and in specific, Gravity Falls, one of my favorite shows on TV right now. And one of the things that I take a lot of great joy from in this show is the fan base. There's so much out there about the show because they put Easter eggs in the show all over the place, and they're very mysterious things. They have puzzles and rebuses and things like that, codes and stuff that appear in the show that people figure out and actually will post on the internet what the answers are. And there was two seasons of, you know, what's going on? There's something mysterious happening in this show. And it wasn't until the middle of this current season that they revealed what that was. And there were a lot of YouTube videos out there making speculations. So this show just really took off, got a lot of fans going, and they really helped build excitement for the show. And the Comic-Con experience with this show is great. It's probably the best panel to go to at Comic-Con. And, I mean, I've seen some good panels. This is probably the best. And you know it's going to be a good panel when they announce the creator of the show, who is not an actor, not anybody famous. He's just some guy that made a show, and the place goes wild for him. I mean, Wesley Snipes got cheered for, Ron Perlman got cheered for, but Alex Hirsch, the creator of this show, just brought down the house. It was amazing. But he is just a great, super funny guy. He talks and talks and talks and talks. He talks very fast. He's just an animated guy, very funny the whole time. And he's also very personable. He'll ask great questions of his cast. And so he kind of almost ran the panel, even though there was a moderator. But it's so much fun to see these people because they're being very genuine. And last year, Alex, I did not know that he had a twin sister last year when I was in the panel. And he announced, "Hey, I have my twin sister here." And he points her out. And she's even wearing the original sweater that inspired Mabel's character's sweaters. And what does he do? He invites her up into the panel and she walks up and she becomes part of the panel. And she does absolutely nothing to do with the show. But it's his sister. So come on up, sis. And I mean, it was just so fun to see that. And afterwards, when we got in the line for autographs, Kristen Shaw, that played her character during last year's panel, she wasn't able to do autographs, so we missed her. But then Ariel Hirsch, Alex's sister, who inspired Mabel, the character, was standing there. So we got, hey, well, we can't get the actor's autograph. Let's get the real Mabel's autograph. So we went and spoke to Ariel Hirsch, and actually, it was just so much fun. She's a normal person. I mean, she doesn't have anything to do with the show, like I said, but it just was fun to talk to her and talk about, you know, what she thinks of the show and about her life and how they grew up. And I don't know, whatever you talk about, it was just really a lot of fun to meet somebody like that and to get to interact with them. Now, this year, people knew she was Alex's sister, and it was almost as though she should have been on the panel. And when we were in line, excuse me. When we were in line for the autographs this year, she actually was walking around and people were calling to her from the line to get her to come over and talk. So, and she did. She's very personable, very nice woman. And it was just great to see once again. And I was standing near her when she came by me and I said, "Hey, you're not signing autographs this year." And she said, "No, I didn't have time." And the next thing you know, when we get to the front of the line, sure enough, she's signing autographs. So I guess they dragged her in and got her to sign. So that's just, again, you know, like I say, it's about the people. You know, this is just fun interactions that you get to see. It's behind the scenes stuff. It doesn't really matter to the show or anything, but these are real human beings, flesh and blood, that God created and that are beautiful and wonderful. And you're seeing them in their best, at their best in a way, at their most joyful, in a celebratory mood. And it's just wonderful. It's just, it lifts my spirits so much when we see stuff like that at Comic-Con and other places. Now, I do need to mention the costumes. That's something else people go see. But I have a friend of mine, actually, who was at Bob's wedding. He said one of his, he's got two children that actually do the cosplay, the costumes. And one of them was going to be the girl from Tangled. And his son was going to play Ruprecht Cronin. I don't know how to say the name because they don't say it, but that's a character from Hellboy. He's the Nazi guy that's made of sand. It's a really intense character and an amazingly difficult costume to make. So my friend said, yeah, that's my son's going to be dressed as that. Go look for him while you're there. He'll be around out in front. Well, I looked and looked and looked and I never saw him. But while I was walking through the halls near the end of the day, two guys behind me were talking about the best costume they saw because this was the last day of Comic-Con and it was winding down. And one guy said, yeah, it was that Hellboy guy, that guy from Hellboy. And I turned around and said, hey, was it the black Nazi guy? Yeah, that's the guy. So, you know, I didn't get to see him, but these guys actually said this was the best costume they witnessed. So, again, how much fun is that? I get it. I may not have seen him, but to hear that somebody else enjoyed this costume and thought it was the best, that's just great. Again, very personal, very personable. And the best costume I actually saw, I do need to mention, is from a Jim Henson movie called Dark Crystal. It was not a very popular movie when it was made, but it was very technically a very good movie because there was a lot of advancements Henson made in puppetry. Now, one of the characters, the actor had to actually get on his hands and knees, and the character had a very long neck. It's some kind of, you know, they're kind of a monstrous form. So there's these kind of like a half domed body with a long neck and a head. So in the dome is the actor, and they had to reach their arm out, and on top of their hand, not on the palm, but on the top of their hand, the head rested. And so they do all the motions that way. And I saw an interview with Jim Henson who said that this was the hardest costume that any actor had to wear in any of the Muppets productions because holding their arm out with this heavy head was amazingly difficult. And that's, actors had a lot of trouble with that. Well, I saw a guy dressed up perfectly as this. I mean, it was as though it was right out of the movie. And sure enough, you know, he had his hand up and holding up this very heavy head, and he had to be doing it for probably an hour on end, I'm sure. So it was a beautiful costume, just a wonder to see, and just so exciting and fun. So we'll talk some more about Comic-Con in just a few minutes.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear.
But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Lubian, filling in for Bob while he is enjoying his honeymoon. So, I've covered some of the great things about Comic-Con. Now, let's talk about some of the maybe not so great things. And it's sad for me to be saying that this is not such a great thing because I am a Christian. I'm a believer. I love God. I love Jesus. And I love to see Jesus in shows and movies. As if you've heard any of my previous shows, you'll know that that's what I look for in film, and I see it, and I think it's very obvious. So, and that's one of the good things about Comic-Con also, is that it's bringing popular culture to these stories that do, at the undercurrent, have something to do with God, with Jesus, if the authors are being really authentic. Well, now, you could call that evangelism. Bob Siegel actually refers to that as pre-evangelism because it's sort of waking up your mind to the idea of God, of Jesus. Then there's real evangelism where you go and tell people about God and Jesus. Well, of course, at Comic-Con, there are the real evangelists outside, and they're holding up, generally speaking, what you see are the yellow signs. And these are colloquially known as the yellow sign guys. And their signs say things like, God destroys all who forsake them, sin brings God's wrath, and a few other things. But those are the worst things those signs say. Now, I took the time to actually speak with one of the fellows this year because I really wanted to know what they were all about. And I saw them hanging out with another guy who had a bullhorn and a microphone, and he was spouting hellfire and brimstone to everybody, telling everybody that we're all going to hell and we're all sinners and we're all going to hell. And I think hell was in there somewhere the whole time. There was never a mention of how to get out of hell. That was his mistake. But anyway, I thought all of these guys were together, but it turns out the people with the yellow sign are actually fairly legitimate, I would say, if not totally legitimate. And I can't believe I'm saying that because the first time I saw them, I was like, oh my gosh, they're actually the Bible Distribution Club of Cerritos, California, and they attend events that just have a lot of people, and Comic-Con is one such event, and they stand silently with their signs. Now, not all of their signs are bad. Not all of their signs say things about sin. But they stand silently. They're non-confrontational. You almost have to drag their literature out of them. Okay, so they will hand out cards. They've got these get out of hell free cards. And if you open it up, it has the gospel in it real quick because it's it's just a business card size thing. But it's always nice to have a get out of hell free card. Maybe it'll work when you have to use it at that time. Who knows? But one thing I like about these guys is they weren't all negative. They actually did have the gospel. Now, unfortunately, the gospel requires us to have some bad news before we get the good news. The bad news is we are separated from God because of our sin, and we tend toward sin. That's the bad news. The good news is that God came to save us from our failings, from our sins, from the things we do wrong, to forgive us and even give us the strength to overcome those sins. Now, we don't always succeed, but God still forgives us, success or not. God loves us, and he wants us to be with him. And that is the gospel, and Jesus makes that all possible. So, some of their other signs: the blood of Jesus cleanses sin. Jesus saves from hell. Trust Christ and be saved. Jesus gives eternal life. Now, those are some great messages to get out to people. And I would think that if you were going to ask somebody about something, you're going to ask about that. Jesus gives eternal life. What does that mean? I mean, How many people know they're going to hell? I think all of the United States has heard it about 10,000 million times, because every politician, preacher, every news outlet, anytime you see anything about anything in popular culture, whether it's Comic-Con or whatever, you will hear something bad about what's going on, and it eventually leads us to going to hell because they're evil, they're bad, you know, that's just the way it is. That's the way we are. Here, these guys are telling us the rest of the story, and that, I think, is there to their advantage, and that, I think, would attract some attention. Now, what I learned from them, though, is that there's some other people there that are not, like I said, not with them. And these are some preachers that are really in your face. They actually refer to themselves as confrontational evangelists. And they are confrontational, and that's no joke. Now, I don't necessarily agree with every sign those yellow sign guys have. And I may not be able to get out there on the street with them, but at least they are sincere, and they're giving you the whole gospel. The confrontational evangelists are not giving you the whole gospel. They're giving you the bad news part of the gospel. There's no good news. I have not heard in 2 years anything about how to solve the problem of sin. They like to talk about sin, particularly homosexuality, and that seems to be their go-to sin. I mean, and in this day and age, that really gets people riled up and angry. Of course. I mean, any sin that if I was involved in something, like, let's say, you know, I was a murderer and they pointed out murder as being a particular sin that had a particularly harsh judgment, which is not true. Harsher judgment than anything else, I should say. That part's not true. That I would feel, like, angry, and I don't want to talk to these guys. I want to get mad at them. And that's human nature. I mean, when I have an argument with my wife, when she says something to me that I don't want to hear, whether it's true or not, I'm going to dig my feet in. And the absolute last thing I'm going to do is listen to her. I'm going to argue with her. I'm going to, you know, say, no, you're wrong and I'm right. That's human nature. And that's one reason that psychologists tell us to practice what's called active communication, which is when you have an argument with somebody, one person speaks, the other person listens. When the speaker is done, the listener repeats what the speaker said until the speaker is satisfied that the listener got it, understood what they were saying. And then you go back and forth with that. And that's a very good communication exercise. Now, there's no way to do that with these guys that are doing confrontational evangelism. Now, one of them is named Brother Reuben Israel. And he's got a website. And I actually believe he's a Christian. And I believe that his intent is good, at least as stated on the website. I just don't think the way he's going about it is correct, because he's too condemning. And his theology is not correct either. And that's another problem. Doesn't mean that he's not a Christian. A lot of us have misconceptions about God. But that doesn't break us away from God. God forgives even that. On his website, he speaks about confrontational evangelism, and he says some people invite others to church, others pass out tracts, booklets, pamphlets, others pray for you, others, you know, they'll weep over you. But what he does is he gets in their face and he yells at them and he screams at them and he tells them that they're going to hell just to get their attention. And he says, now the sinner has no excuse not to believe in Jesus. And I don't agree with that, and you'll find out why after the break.
Mm-hmm.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
And welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and I'm Mark Boobian, covering for Bob while he is off gallivanting around the world with his new wife. And speaking of preachers, which Bob is, but not one of the guys at Comic-Con, fortunately, Brother Reuben Israel. Now, he actually says that, you know, God gives you every chance you can to learn about Jesus, and he lists some good ways that people share the gospel. And then he says that there's people like us to get in your face, get your attention. And after they do this, now that's it. You don't have any excuse not to believe in Jesus. No excuse. You're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus after you hear us yell at you about not Jesus, but hell. Because I have never heard the word Jesus come out of this guy's mouth. And there are other people that are at Comic-Con that do preaching, never heard the word Jesus come out of their mouths, never heard a thing about salvation, not a thing about God's love. And even if he had brought up Jesus, even if he does talk about salvation, when you're yelling at somebody, they're not going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear, this guy's yelling at me, and I don't like what he's saying. And that's it. So I don't think that what he's saying is true. These people will be able to say to God, hey, all you sent was that bozo at Comic-Con. But how do you expect me to believe in you? Now, that's probably not going to happen, but he'd have a point. He got to heaven and that bozo was the only person who had ever talked about Jesus to him because he's doing it the wrong way. Now, I mentioned too that this fellow has some incorrect theology, and I think this is really where it's a big problem because, you know, as I mentioned, they tend to go toward homosexuality, sexual sin, things that really bother people because, I mean, we like sex. That's the way it is. And we don't like to hear that God doesn't want us to just have rampant sex with whoever we want. That's not something that's really fun to hear when you really like to have sex. So they're talking about all of this stuff. And in the midst of it, in the past, they've been attacked, beaten, spit on, and some other terrible, disgusting things that I can't even say on the radio. They're so bad. I mean, it's amazing. Now, there is no justification for anybody doing this to this person, to Brother Reuben Israel. Rocks, spitting, what have you. No justification for it. Getting angry, yelling, you know, of course you can get angry, but that kind of response is wrong. Now, he says, though, of this type of treatment, and this is a quote from him, now, I truly understand why God would hate the sinner and hate the sin. All right, so now that's where he's gone way too far. Way, 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 way too far. That he thinks that God hates both the sinner and the sin? No, that is absolutely not the case in the Bible. And the problem is twofold for him. One is he's preaching that message that God hates you if you're a sinner. No, God doesn't. God loves you. That's the truth. But he's saying that God hates you and he hates your sin. And the other problem is there's no excuse for Brother Reuben to not hate you too. Because if God hates you, I can hate you. You know, what's to stop me? God's hating you, I will too. So when people talk about Christians being homophobic and hateful, well, here's an example of somebody that could potentially be truly hateful to other people when he's preaching, because he said God hates the sinner. Well, that's absolutely not true, and I'll tell you why. The most quoted verse in the Bible, John 3:16. I mean, it's even been on The Simpsons. I mean, come on. That's actually where I learned about it, believe it or not. That's how popular it is. John 3:16. You see it everywhere. It's ubiquitous, and it's ubiquitous because it's imperative. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Now, God didn't love the planet. God didn't love the grass and the trees and the whatever. When he said the world, he meant all of humanity. God loved the whole of humanity, and he sent Jesus to pay for the sins of the whole of humanity, even before they were saved. Obviously, before they were saved, because they couldn't be saved until Jesus came. So God loves sinners. If you're out there and you're gay, you're having an affair, premarital sex, God loves you. That's unquestionable. Now, whether or not God is all in on those activities, that would be another question. But start with the knowledge that God loves you and he wants to spend eternity with you. That is God's desire. That is what Christianity is about. That is why Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And all this stuff about him dying for our sins and stuff, that's theological, but it basically just boils down to God loves you and he wants you to spend eternity with him because he loves you. And when I say you, I mean the individual you, not the general you out there, but you personally. That's the kind of God Christianity believes in. And I think that's the only kind of God that could even logically exist. But that's for another show. Now, just a little bit more about this. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will be find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, who is Jesus talking to? The sinners. Now, once again, if God hated sinners, why would he say, everyone who seeks will find, and finding is finding the truth? Jesus, God, if he hated sinners, he wouldn't invite you to find him. So, sadly, there are people like Brother Reuben Israel preaching the wrong gospel, preaching only the bad news. Fortunately, there are others out there, the yellow sign guys, believe it or not, telling you the rest of the story. And then you have me here telling you the rest of the story too. And I'm glad to do it. And once again, I want to thank Bob for letting me take over the show today, and I wish he and Dana the best, and I pray for their wonderful and timely marriage. We'll see you next week on The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.